Blog Talk Radio.
Doing this evening, I'm your host, Coach Terrence Wood, in the BGP locker room, and we are fucked up, you guys, for tonight because we have a gentleman on the line that is directly in line with the type of guest that we like to bring to the locker room. For those that join us for the very first time, Pro, the company that is focused on mental, moral, social gains, mental, moral, and social growth for student athletes, for junior college players that want to go on and play college ball, maybe professional ball. This gentleman that we have on tonight is somebody who has played at the level that football can provide. He has a stellar football career, guys. I'm talking USA Today, All-American. He went on to prestigious University of Notre Dame and had a great career there, and then ended up getting drafted NFL as well. But part of the reason why I'm so excited to have Mr. Corey Minor on the show tonight is because he is a gentleman that has done good for himself off the field as well. He ventured into being an entrepreneur. He's a business owner and has done quite well in that area. He's voiced himself recently about some feelings and some bouts with depression, and hopefully he'd be willing to get into that as well with the audience. But I believe we have Mr. Mine ready on the line. Corey, can you hear us tonight?
I can. I was getting a little bit of feedback. I'm not sure, but I can hear you very well, my friend.
Okay, great. Well, definitely keep me posted. We're on the internet. And you'll have a lot of time. But we are excited to have you on. I know you
I'm
got
honored.
Busy house. We really appreciate the time.
No, I'm honored, man. Thank you so much for taking the time to reach out to me, to have me on the show. I'm truly, truly excited about it and honored to share it, man. So I've been looking forward to this all day, man. Thanks so much. I appreciate it, my man.
Great. So I know about you because I'm from California, and you had an amazing high school career. But can you tell those who don't know you where you're originally from and maybe a little bit about you?
Yeah, definitely. I was born and raised in Inglewood, California, man, and, you know, grew up with a single mom who played mom, dad, cousin, uncle, sister, brother, anything I needed. She was that person at the time. I had two close grandparents that I'm very close to that they gave major support for my upbringing, man. You know, I have a sister with 13 years apart, so she came along when I was got into my early adolescence, man. But you know, really, I've always been a guy who, man, has been humble, man. You know, raised by an amazing mom who just instilled so many values in me as far as work ethic, as far as focus, as far as discipline, man. And so, you know, I just try to give that to people as well and keep it for myself as well as I move into endeavors of entrepreneurship, man.
Well said right there, Corey. And obviously, amazing football career. When did you start to realize that you might be a college football player?
You know, it's funny because freshman year, you know, at Bishop Lamont, you know, I just played, had no idea, you know, and then I got moved to varsity my sophomore year and started seven games there as a, until I got hurt. But it wasn't probably until my junior, senior year, probably late junior year, where I realized that, hey, people are looking at you, they're scouts that think you can play at the next level. And that really, for me, was exciting because I knew I couldn't afford college, right? You know, single mom, that wasn't happening. So to be able to use football, right, to get me education, man, it was right up my alley. And I just thank God the Notre Dame came calling.
Perfect. And it looks like we actually already have somebody calling into the show. 951 area code. We do see you. We're gonna let Corey get a little bit more into his story before we go to calls, but we definitely appreciate the call in. Corey, who was it that helped you out with the recruiting process? Was it a coach? Was it maybe an extended family member? Who helped you learn the recruiting process?
Man, to be honest, man, it was moms. I mean, literally, my mom's a football junkie. I mean, she's a Lawrence Taylor fan. She's a fan of the New York Giants, man. So she understands the game completely. So, you know, she went on all my trips. You know, she was right there in the living room when they walked in the door. And it's funny because my mom had two questions always. The first question was, well, she always says, welcome, thanks for coming. The first question was, would you like some coffee or tea? And the next question was, what's your graduation rate? If you couldn't answer the second question, wow. Don't even sit down. Like, don't even sit down. It was over for you.
That, I mean, she sounds like an amazing woman, and we'll definitely get into a little bit into her as we go here, because I was very interested in that. I saw that you came from a single mother background. We have some athletes that we work with that come from the same background, but you're such a high achiever, so. I appreciate you sharing that with us. What did it mean to you to be a USA Today All-American? I mean, pretty much you could have chosen any college you want to. What did that mean to you to achieve that?
It was huge, man, because I had no idea. I got a phone call the day of a game that Friday. I'm sorry, I'll take it back. I called my mom every Friday after school before we got ready to kind of get focused for our game. And she always gave me a pep talk. And she says, hey, I got something to share with you, but I don't want to share it. It's going to mess you up. I said, Mom, share it. I'm good. She said, Corey, are you serious? I said, Mom, yes, share it. Mom, I'm okay. What is it? Corey, you're sure? Mom, just share it. What is it? And she said, on Monday, you'll be named USA Today Defensive Player of the Year for the Nation. And I dropped the phone. I mean, it was, of course, the payphone, right, in the gymnasium back then. I dropped the phone because I was like, there's a gazillion thousand linebackers in the country. You know, how did they find me? And so I was in shock, but I tell you, it was the best experience of my life because I got to meet some great guys that I'm still friends with to this day. So it was pretty cool.
Great story right there. I love that Mom was giving the pep talk each week. So you ended up choosing to go to Notre Dame, and obviously all of the history behind Notre Dame football, I'm sure nobody could blame you, but any family members or friends or maybe rival schools or other recruiters that really put a lot of pressure on you to choose a certain school?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I had, you know, of course, being from L.A., you know, everyone wants to go to USC, right, or then UCLA. But I've been a Notre Dame fan since I was 6 years old, man. That was my dream to go there. I would sit Indian style every Saturday morning, eating about four or five bowls of Captain Crunch cereal, man. And watching the game, man, I was drawn in, man. And so I told myself, man, Mom, I'm going to find a way to get there. I don't know how, but I'm going to find a way. And thank God, you know, I had that vision and that dream, man. I stayed with it. But, you know, I definitely USC, UCLA. I believe I was recruited by every school except Penn State and Michigan, if I remember right.
Wow, that's amazing. Did you fully realize the value of being coveted and having a scholarship? And the value of college. Did you realize that at that age?
I did, because I realized, because I knew we couldn't afford it. Just being totally transparent, I knew we couldn't afford it, and I knew it was my ticket, as I say, out the hood or to get to a better life or lifestyle, man. And so I took it serious, man. When I started getting recruited, I took it really serious.
Right.
I took the workout serious. I took my school serious, and I was pretty focused, man, because I knew that this was my this is my way to big and better things, and so I had to get it right, my friend. And so for me, you know, the process was very long, but it was enjoyable because I tell recruits all the time, listen, you'll never be wanted, you'll never be wanted by someone this bad. You know, enjoy it, man. Don't commit too early. Let you know for sure. Take all your trips, man, and enjoy it, because they wine and dine you for a good, you know, good amount of months, man. That you just won't ever have that again.
Great advice right there, and hopefully our young athletes. I know they're listening to what you're saying tonight, so thank you for sharing that. You decided to sign your letter of intent with Notre Dame, as I stated, the legendary coach Lou Holtz. What was it about Notre Dame that made you say you want to go across the country and play for the Fighting Irish?
Yeah, no, really. It was just, like I said before, that's at age six, I just had this dream. I used to really watch them every Saturday morning. You know, and that's all I knew. And I told myself, so Mom, I'm going there one day. And Mom was like, I'm not sure how you're going to get there. I said, we'll figure it out, man. But I just knew it was my destiny. It was my calling. And in fact, it's funny because.
Oh, it was Notre Dame. I thought you said UCLA. Sorry.
No worries, man. Yeah, Notre Dame, since I was the age of six, man, was my dream, man. And so when they came calling, man, yeah, it was a blessing, man, let me tell you. But it's funny because the weekend I got there for my trip, it was like -20 with the -20, and it was snowing. And I'm from LA, man. I'm like, this ain't gonna work. but here's what they did, man. I'll tell you what's funny. Bob Kamel, who I'm friends with this day, here's what they did. They had, of course, they had vans. I can take the recruits up in vans. They parked the van to the door of the airport, so I never felt the cold. I walked from inside the airport into the van. They already knew. They knew. So we drove the campus. We had dinner with Coach Holtz. They drove the van to the basketball arena right to the door. So I haven't felt cold yet at all.
Wow. well, at least they were smart enough to do that, and it looks like it worked because they got a hell of a linebacker. For those, I know this is your first time in the locker room, Corey, but, you know, part of our company is content, and the other part of our company is actually a mentoring service, a consulting company for football players. So we do have players and parents listening tonight. So many of them are in the grind right now. They were where you were when you were at Bishop Amat, and you were fighting for your respect and your scholarship offer. You obviously got a chance to travel to South Bend and sit in front of Lou Holtz on your recruiting trip for the first time, somebody you have been watching on TV. That's like somebody today sitting in front of Nick Saban. What was that experience like for you?
Man, it was very daunting at first because you know the magnitude of Lou Holtz in Notre Dame and the coaches and the players that played for him, right? From Rocket Ismail to Tim Brown to Jerome Bettis. So, I mean, you knew the person you're in front of has tons of miles on his truck, but it was a guy that you wanted to be around and you knew you learned a lot from. And for me, he was a true father figure for me while I was there. And I owe him a lot because he always said his door was open. You know, a lot of coaches say that, and I'm not sure they always believe it and always you know, follow it, but his door was always open. And if you had an issue, it could have been school, family, your girlfriend. If you had an issue, he wanted you to come to him right away. And it could have been a priest in his office. It could have been the AD. He got rid of him. He really did. He was that kind of guy.
Amazing. Now, you obviously hit the field right away. I mean, you played as a true freshman, and you made an immediate impact. So many young men want to play as freshmen. What do you think the difference is between you and maybe some of the kids who didn't play right away?
Sure. That's a great question. I would say, listen, Almont's a great school. You know, Almont prepared me for success on and off the field, without a doubt. And we get a lot of credit for the guys I played with. A lot of guys went D1, a lot of guys went to NFL. But we had a great coaching staff, and we had some great administrators at the school who get you prepared for school. So for me, you know, I just followed the system. What I learned at Almont, I just brought it to Notre Dame, and I picked up on what their system was and just went from there. And but definitely, I'm sure a little bit of luck involved there too. But I worked my tail off, man. I really did, and I had some great guys there. Linebackers, Ken Tatum, you know, Burt Berry and Ron Cobbins, who took me under their wing, man, and just welcomed me and helped me out any way I needed.
It looks like we may have a caller that's been on the line for a while. Do you mind if we try and take a call, Corey?
No, not at all.
So it looks like 951 area code. You are in the BYGP locker room with Coach Wood and Corey Miner. Who are we speaking with? Hello, 951 area code. Can you hear us? Okay, we may have lost them there, Corey. Hopefully they'll call back. But on to my next question. Once again, this time is so valuable for us. You were able to graduate in 3.5 years, in 3.5 years, which was amazing to me, considering that you played right away. How were you able to manage the academic side of Notre Dame, which is probably difficult with being such a high-profile player?
Sure. First of all, it's very difficult. I mean, when I first got there, man, I had some struggles, and I'll be honest, because I didn't figure it out. I couldn't figure out how to study right. I couldn't figure out how to take notes right. I struggled for probably a good first semester until I had to really understand how to really, you know, gravitate and learn to be a better student. And I did that. Thank God for my wife, man. She's a brainiac to Notre Dame as well, and she really helped me to learn how to study and be focused. But it was hard, man. It was definitely hard. It was definitely challenging. I mean, you're in the class of people who scored, you know, perfect on SAT. I was far from perfect on my SAT. You know what I mean? So you got to challenge yourself, right? So I had to learn. Okay, if I can compete on the football field, I can compete in the classroom. I had to make that shift in my mind, right? That I belong here. That I can be here. I can be successful here in this classroom. So I sat in the front, right? I didn't have a hoodie on. I asked questions. I participated. I saw a teacher in office hours. I mean, I really got involved because I knew that I wanted to excel. I didn't want to be the guy that says, well, you know, those athletes, they never go to class, or they don't do things the right way, or they're not very smart. I didn't want you ever to put me – I didn't want to be labeled with any other athlete but Corey Miner. You had to say, those athletes will, not Corey. That's what I wanted. I wanted to be different. Those athletes will, but not Corey, right? Because I just told myself that I'm better than that. And so, you know, I took school seriously, man, and thank God with the great help of my counselor and my teachers, you know, I was able to get done 3.5 years, man.
Wow, great. I'm going to have to take that snippet and play it again and put it on iTunes, everything I can put it on, because that's exactly what I wanted to hear. I mean, it's amazing that you were able to graduate in 3.5 years.
Thank you.
Do you understand when you're walking on campus, at Notre Dame, because obviously I'm sure you probably didn't see many that looked like you. Were you aware? I know you mentioned that you were aware of value, but were you aware of the brand and has that helped you? Like when you say you went to Notre Dame and graduated, did people kind of look twice at you?
Oh, definitely. You know, definitely when they find out Notre Dame or you know, athlete, All-American, of course, it does help, you know. And so I've always tried to use it in a helping role. I never tried to take advantage of that because I really care about my university and care about my time there. So I try to be utmost respectful about it. And so, yeah, when I can use it to an advantage of, you know, throwing my name in or Notre Dame in where it helps, I mean, definitely, because it's a prominent school that's known around the globe. And so, you know, it's only right for me to take advantage of that when I can, when it makes sense for me to take advantage of, to have a platform to be able to give back and share my thoughts and things of that nature, man. So, you know, you definitely don't realize the value of it until you leave. Because as in college, when you're there, you're trying to get out, right? Oh man, I'm tired of being here, man. I want to get out to the real world. I want to get to the NFL. And you know, you're thinking about so many other things, and so many times you missed it, right? I tell people all the time, my close friends, that Lou Holtz said so many speeches, but I can't remember most of them to this day. And I'm not sure if I wasn't focused, or if I have too many concussions. One of the two, it's probably a little mixture of both. You know, it's I tell people all the time, when you get to college, man, enjoy it. You know, because you will be in the real world soon enough. Take those 4 years or 5 years, whatever it may be, and really enjoy it. Really let it sink in, man, and just harness it for sure.
When was the first time, Corey, that it really dawned on you, or that you know, the light bulb came on as far as college football being a business? When was the first time that you caught on to that?
When I saw my jersey being sold across campus. and realizing that, hey, I didn't authorize that, or I didn't get no, my account didn't get heavier from that jersey.
Wow.
That's when I realized this was a business.
Wow. Do you think athletes are fairly compensated?
That's a great question. I often debate that quite a bit. Some days I think yes, and I think no. I mean, listen, at the end of the day, you have some athletes, right, who sometimes have a struggle just to provide the small things, right, necessities, right, lotion, toothpaste, right, deodorant, cologne, right? So they struggle with sometimes those necessities. I know now most schools now are getting the stipend checks and all that, which is really awesome. But to say that, you know, a $200,000 education, right, is equal value to the amount that you could have made for the university, I'm not sure about that. Now, the education part, 100% get it, understand it, know it wholeheartedly. What that degree means for me means a lot. But at the same time, if you're an entrepreneur, the degree really doesn't have a lot to do with it because you're an entrepreneur. You know, it's not like I'm a doctor or a lawyer where I need my degree today, right? I'm an entrepreneur, and my degree says value, but if no one asks me or Googles me, then they have no idea where I went to school at. That makes sense, right? So at the end of the day, I understand the education, and I understand the value of it, but where young men can't buy deodorant and toothpaste and mouthwash and lotion or a little spending money to go to a movie, I have a problem with that.
What's your opinion of the recruiting game today? I'm sure you're aware of the hype behind recruiting and 7-on-7 tournaments. And, you know, ESPN, spends time highlighting games and showcasing kids. What's your opinion of the exposure on the athletes?
I think it's awesome. I do. I think nowadays these young men can get great exposure across the globe for the school they want to go to, but especially some small schools, some small high schools, they get some press. Well, for these guys who are not, you know, top five recruits, star five recruits, whatever you want to call them, I think it's great. I really do. My fear and my worry is that we make winning their overall theme. And to me, that's not the issue because I can't remember the games I played in. I played in too many. I don't remember the wins and losses. But what I do remember, I remember people who touched my life. I remember my coach who touched my life, who changed my life. Right? You know, I remember that. And so many times, I mean, even in Pop Warner now, and even in high school, people are so caught up in winning, we'll cheat, we'll finagle stuff to win. It's not that important. Winning is great. Don't get me wrong. I'm a winner first. I'm a winner like anybody. I'm a competitor. But if I'm gonna choose winning and choose being ethical, I want to be ethical, right? And so I draw the line there, right? So I know some stories. I live in California. I hear a lot of things. I'm far removed. I hear things all the time from people that I know, right? Of schools doing this, schools doing that. Right, especially in the high school arena, you know, I think sometimes we make winning such an emphasis that we forget about it. It's more than just that. It's more than just winning, right? It's about life skills. It's about teaching me the success so I can be successful off the field, right? Because my on the field time is going to be a very short time. It's going to be a very short lived time. It's what I do off the field is going to make my name, and we got to remember that.
Well said, right there, and that is exactly what we preach with Before You Go Pro. We have roughly about 10 more minutes here, and we are definitely gracious for the time. You are in the BYDP locker room with Coach Terrence Wood and Mr. Corey Miner, NFL veteran, Notre Dame great, USA Today All-American, and an entrepreneur as well. You're kind of rolling me right into my next subject. You decided to get into entrepreneurship after the NFL. When did you start thinking about life after football?
I started while I was playing. While I was playing, I was doing internships in the offseason in Charlotte. I was on different boards. I was going to different, you know, networking functions as well as, you know, black tie affairs. So I knew the game for me one day would end, and I had to be prepared for that. People always say, man, you always handled it so well, because I prepared for it while I was still playing. And when guys were going on vacation in the offseason and hanging out, I was working a 9-to-5 in the offseason.
Yeah, but
you know,
who taught you that? Was that just an intuitive thing, or did somebody really get beneath your skin with that?
So I said it before earlier, man, I've always wanted to be different than most athletes, right? And so I knew most athletes never prepared. I knew most athletes never prepared for it, so I did. So it was intuitive somewhat, most of it, a little bit of it, my mom, of course, But it goes back to the notion, man, I wanted to be a different athlete. I didn't want to be like everybody else. When they said athletes are this, they could never put my name in there because I was not that way, and I live by that every single day.
Wow, amazing. What were you able to take from football that you've been able to use in business?
Oh, man, so many things. But I would say for sure, mindset, right? Discipline, perseverance, right? Toughness. Right, being focused, right? So many things in football that I brought into the business sector. And the reason why I'm becoming, I believe, a pretty darn good businessman is because of these things. And so, for sure, man, football for me was a catalyst for so many things, my friend.
Now, you've recently been, at least to my knowledge, a little bit more vocal as far as some of the off-the-field things that you've dealt with. And I know depression being one of them. I saw a real compelling video that you released about some of the depression and you know, looking good from the outside and people believing everything is on the up and up. And I've had my own doubts myself. But I really want to talk to you about this because we are dealing with young men who are listening to us now. When did you start to notice that you had some depression? And is it something that you still deal with?
Yeah, probably about 4 or 5 years ago. My wife kind of brought to my attention. She said, "Nate, I think you might be depressed." I'm like, "Depressed, man? I'm always happy. I'm never depressed." And I never really looked at it that way because I'm always a happy guy and I'm happy-go-lucky and I'm always laughing and joking. I never saw that. And I realized that she was right. You know, I felt like I wasn't adequate. I didn't like the way I looked as far as, you know, physique. You know, I didn't like the fact I felt like I was behind the eight ball. All my other friends who had left college had gotten great jobs and had been plugged in somewhere for a long time. They were VPs or entrepreneurs of their own, and I just felt like I was behind. And you know, it took a lot of soul searching, a lot of praying to the man above and on my knees at night, and of course my wife with nothing but support and grace to bring me through it, man. But it was a rough time. It was a rough spot. You know, I'm not going to lie and say I never thought about suicide at some points here or there, but I did. You know, God is good, and I knew that I've been doing I'm here for a purpose and for a reason, man, and I knew I had to fulfill my destiny. And so as time went on, I got counseling. You know, I stayed connected with my wife, and over time, man, things seemed to just start to kind of roll in place, man, and things started to kind of happen for me, and I got rolling again, and I met some other entrepreneurs who are in a different space, but you know, they were saying, "Man, we're excited to meet you, man." I'm like, "I'm excited to meet you." And so you start realizing that the value you're giving to people over your lifespan has been, you know, pretty phenomenal. I mean, I talk to a lot of people who are Notre Dame fans, and the first thing they say, "Man, is we loved you. You know, we named our son after you, we named our dog after you, and we met you, you know, on campus, and you were so gracious. You had lunch with us for a minute. You start reading these stories, you hear these stories of people of lives you changed over your years, you realize, man, maybe I have done some great work already. I just didn't realize it." And so once I start hearing more of those type of things, I realize maybe I am doing good stuff. And so I kind of got into speaking, got into coaching, and things from there just kind of take off, man. I've been blessed ever since, my man.
Wow. Well, hey, from me and my audience to you, you know, we really appreciate you opening up about that and sharing that.
No problem.
And we're glad that you did decide not to commit suicide, because, you know, I'm a California person. I came a few years after you, but was always a USC fan. So I was aware of De'Lon McCutcheon, who was your high school teammate. And because I was a USC fan, I ended up going to Colorado. But because I was a USC fan, I hated Notre Dame. But you were one of the guys who always got a pass because you were from California. So, no, man, you touch a lot of people, and sometimes we don't realize that. And I have been watching you for years, and loved your game.
You.
So I'm so glad that you're coming out on the other end of that. And me being a Buffalo, this suicide hit our family recently with Rashawn Salaam.
Definitely.
You know, it's definitely real. You know, it's definitely real.
Definitely.
What advice would you give to a young man that might be listening and might be feeling depressed, Corey?
First off, man, open up, right? I think so many times as men, "Oh, you're not tough. You got to be tough. You know, open your man." Listen, man, men cry and men open up. Let's be real. Men cry and men open up. And I think that's the first and foremost you got to do. You got to share it with someone. You can't harbor those feelings inside. You got to share it with someone where you can get help, right? You can get help. I do a lot of stuff for veterans when they come back from service, you know, and I'm always talking about, you know, getting help, right, getting treatment. You cannot do it by yourself, right? So, and be okay with that. Be okay with being vulnerable, right? Be okay with saying, listen, I'm not perfect. I'm not 100% right now. I know I'm not. I'm not trying to fake it either, right? I think if more guys realize they can get help, there's help out there, hopefully they're willing to do it.
Perfect, perfect. Last two questions, and we'll let you go.
Yeah,
and once
man.
Again, this
no,
is
no
so
worries,
valuable.
No worries.
Thank you. Knowing what you know today, I mean, you've done it all. You've had the amazing football career. You've transitioned well after football. Knowing what you know today, what would you tell Corey Minor, 17, 18 years old, walking on that Notre Dame campus for the first time?
Oh, man, that's a great question. And it's funny because I've never been asked that, but I've always thought about what I'd say.
Wow. Well, now that
I was, yeah. I'd probably tell Corey, right, there's a few areas you need to really get good at. Number one is having a strong mindset, right, because at the end of the day, that's where everything starts. How your mind, you know, Thinking Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, one of my favorite books, right, your mindset is huge. Number two, I would say you got to be okay with getting knocked down, because you're going to get knocked down. It's part of life. A person's character is measured by how they get back up after they've been knocked down, right? So mindset, right, getting back up after being knocked down. I would say networking, man, how to network, right? I never room with athletes, and people say, you never – no, because I want to meet new people because this person might give me a job one day, right? So, you know, I believe in networking, man, how to network, right? Because networking is huge, right? Because you all know it's not about what you know, it's about who you know. It's about who you know. Let's keep it real. It's about who you know. And then number four, I would say, you know, how not the phrase how to make money, because you can't make money. That's illegal. That's the U.S. Mint makes money. How to earn money. Right? You're not taught in college how to earn money, how to create wealth. Right? You're not taught that. You're not taught how to balance a checkbook. You're not taught that. So honestly, for me, if I'm going back, I want to know those four things. And then number two, what I would do is get more involved in college, right? I'm thinking myself, man, I didn't go to enough basketball games. I didn't go to enough volleyball games, enough plays. I didn't do enough of that. I know I didn't. I don't know if I was just tired or what, or just probably doing homework, but I didn't do enough, and I still to this day wish I would have done more, because I have some baseball friends, softball friends, basketball, volleyball friends, and I might have saw maybe one or two of their games, not very many.
Wow, I'm in the same boat, Corey. I went to one basketball game, you know, and one soccer game, and I regret that as well. Wow, I'm so glad you shared that. Last question. I mean, you've accomplished so much, you know, on and off the field. What's next? What's on the horizon? What do you have your eyes on? Where is Corey Minor going to be 2, 5, 10 years from now?
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, I'd be lying if I didn't say I was a visionary and a go-getter and a big thinker. And I just know that I'm never comfortable being comfortable, because I know that, you know, my dream is, my goal and my ambition is to be worth somewhere between $200 and $500 million one day. And I know by doing that, there's so much good I can do in the world. So I don't sell myself short. You know, people say, I'm comfortable, I'm good here. Well, how can you be comfortable? When you say you're comfortable, you stop growing. And how can you stop growing if you're meant to be in His image? So for me, man, the sky's the limit, man. I'm an entrepreneur, so I'm always trying to find the next best thing for me that's going to get my family to the next level, but as well as bring people up with me. See, I'm all about lifting people up, right? I just about dabble my coattail, and I'll drop you off at your income level, right, on the way up. Because I want to uplift people, man. I want people to have wealth, man. I really do, and I mean that, because I come from none of that. I come from none of that. I mean, single mom, not much money, didn't eat out. We just couldn't do much. So I come from none of that. So being in a position now, having my sights on creating wealth, not just for my family, generational wealth, right? So when I'm gone one day, right, my kids' kids and my kids' kids and so on and so forth, right, they can live and say, man, you know, great, 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 great granddad Corey Minor left this for us, right? So, and that's what it's all about, man. It's about giving back. It's about making someone else's life better. I get up every day with a mission to serve somebody. If I can serve somebody, make them smile, make them laugh, and I've done my job, and I move on to the next person. But I'm here, man, to live my life to the fullest. Les Brown said, die empty. Right, man, I'm going to die empty, man. I'm going to do so much good on this earth, man. So when it's time for me to go home, man, my tombstone says, man, this dude left it all. He gave it all, man. And so, you know, I'm trying to empower people to live life to a new fulfillment, man, because life is way too short, man. We're not promised tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to wait tomorrow. You might not get tomorrow, but you got to go now. And so I'm preaching all the time, let's go now. Let's stop waiting for success. Let's stop waiting to have kids. We will have kids when we have money. You're never going to have enough money. Go have kids, and you'll learn on the way. Right? Just go live your life, man, and be the best you can be. If you can be the best you can be every single day, you will find success is meant for you. I promise you that. But if you sit and you wait and you wait and you wait, there's nothing coming to you. You have to go get it. And that's what I live by, boss, and that's it.
Wow. Well, hey, you can drop the mic right there, Corey. I'm about to go work out after listening to that. And I know our athletes and our parents got so much out of that and will continue to as we disperse this content. So, hey, man, thank you so much. You are welcome back anytime. And
Anytime, man. Let me know.
Corey.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Thank you for having me. Anytime I can do anything for you, man, let me know. If someone, you know, counts on you, need somebody a placement, man, or anything I do for you, let me know, my man. You always got a place in my life, brother, because everything you're doing is great stuff, and I appreciate you, man. And I know you play my boy Hannibal Navies, man. So,
yeah,
much love always, brother. So anything I can do for you, my friend, your phone call away, text away. We can break some bread, man. Anything you need, let me know. I'm all in, bro.
That's big time, Corey. Hey, have a good one, and, you know, enjoy the rest of the evening. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, man. Have a blessed night. Take care. God bless.
All right, so that is Mr. Corey Miner, and if you guys are not electric right now, I don't know what it will take for you to get to the next level. This is somebody that has done it big time on the field and off the field, and as you guys can see by his passion, his energy, he is about to take things to the next level as an entrepreneur. So, hey, I know you guys got something out of that show. We went a little bit longer because Corey was just on fire, and I wanted you guys to be able to hear him and really grasp what he was talking about. You know, some of the recaps that I pulled from the show, strong mindset. You got to have a strong mindset. You have to be okay with being knocked down. And we actually had a quote that all of our athletes got this morning that said, if you're not okay with failing, then you're not fit to win. Number three for him was network. He says, I wish I would have went to more events. I would have met more people when I was at the University of Notre Dame. Notre Dame's a prestigious university. Chances are the people he was around are doing quite well for themselves, 9 out of 10. So you want to meet as many people at these schools as possible. And then the last one that he said was learn how to earn money, be comfortable, being comfortable, and then you got to open up. Some of you guys are going through some bouts of depression or a little down. You can't be afraid to share. I know you're a big, bad football player, but football players need to be vulnerable too, because if you're a whole person, then you can be a whole football player. If you're not a whole person, then something's going to fail you when it comes to your football career. And we have so many instances of that. So you guys really caught on to what Mr. Miner was saying. Please share this show with some of your teammates, some of your friends, your coaches, because that was tremendously valuable. And when you talk about somebody that was a USA All-American, he was a college All-American, a pro draft pick, an entrepreneur. At one time, he owned 5 to 6 Domino's pizzas. That's somebody whose word you can take to the bank. So, guys, continue to knock it out the park. If you guys didn't get to hear our last show, last Thursday, we had another great one, another big-time achiever, Mr. Darian Hagan, Coach Hagan at the University of Colorado. Right now, he's coach, but he played at Colorado, was a national champion winning quarterback. So obviously he had tons of advice and great nuggets for you guys to take hold of. You can go to our website, www.beforeyougopro.com, and access that content by clicking on the top right-hand side, there's a microphone up there by all of our other social networking links. We'll direct you to the BYGP archive shows. We had coaches, business professionals, players, everybody there, you guys, geared helping your journey be a little bit easier to the top. So I am Coach Terrence Wood signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP family. We will definitely see you guys at the top. Have a great evening.